are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, February the 20th, and the Bucks are in town. So let's talk about stealing from the Bucks. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Really appreciate you guys. Today, we are going to pass along some of the interesting things that Dwayne Casey had to say on Wednesday in the first practice back after the All-Star break. We're also going to talk about how can the Pistons be a little bit more like the Milwaukee Bucks, and we'll talk about that and what the Pistons can steal from tonight's opponent at Little Caesars Arena. Just a reminder that tonight is WWE night. I'll be there at Mike's Pizza Bar with Doc Joe Brown. He's hosting it with the podcast, the Pro Wrestling Talk for the Pistons fan. I'll be there 5:30 or so. We're going to start taping his podcast then, and I'll be jetting out about 6:15 or so to go pick up my folks from the airport, actually, is what I'm doing. Not that you guys really need to know what's going on, but yeah, I'll be there for about 45 minutes or so, so come check me out at Mike's Pizza Bar with our guy, Doc Joe Brown. And we talked to him on Wednesday's show, so check that one out on Locked On Pistons as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, @SCHOCH, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But I also wanted to plug Laz's podcast. You know Laz. He does the Pistons versus Everybody podcast, his new joint that he's doing through Blue Wire. I was on there on the episode that was released, I believe, late Wednesday night, still up there on Thursday, so check that out. Wherever you get your podcasts, I had fun with Laz. We got some good energy together. Maybe we'll try to collaborate with some more content in the future, or at least be on each other's podcasts some. So that was fun. So we'll throw it out there, especially with some need of content for all of our shows going forward with the rebuild and the NBA draft talk that will inevitably continue as the season continues. But some big news for the city of Detroit as the Big Three is coming to town on August 29th. At Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. And not only is it coming, but is the championship will be there. I was there a couple years ago when they had it at LCA. Good times, the 3-on-3 Ice Cube summer event. All the old players, Chauncey Billups was there. Rick Mahorn was coaching. I recommend you guys going, especially if you're about my age or maybe a little bit lower, younger or older than me. The nostalgia is nice for basketball fans. Not much else going on. Although late August, maybe there will be some football going on that Saturday night, but some good times to be had for sure. And I guess that might be the weekend before Labor Day, so not a big holiday weekend there. The same night, by the way, that Justin Bieber apparently is at Ford Field. How do I choose? Where do I go? I kid a little bit, but I would definitely go to a Justin Bieber concert. I love the spectacle of the big shows, that type of scale. Also, of course, the talented people. Seeing the young kids and the teens and the tweens love their idol. Just an American showcase. I really would like to see Taylor Swift, though. I'm into the T-Swift, but I've probably already said too much. Good to see those American icons, even if they aren't quite your taste in music, but good times there. John Beilein, he's out. I'm still going to hold strong and side with Beilein on this one. Glad to see that Andre Drummond is involved now on Wednesday. Really grown up after being traded by the Pistons. Whether he said what's reported to have been said from him, that it was maybe basically like an ultimatum, or he piled on to the Beilein issues with a me or him kind of thing as far as opting into next year. Well, right then the Cavs should have just begged Beilein to stay, first of all. But second of all, if Andre was misquoted, which he wasn't, by the way, don't go on Twitter and argue with fans, go fall for Andre Stans, who I got to admit, that Twitter guy who runs the Andre Stans account, I've grown to appreciate it. Whoever's behind that, you have an open invitation to come on to the show and reveal yourself here on Locked On Pistons. But the Pistons, back in action tonight against the defending, I guess, what do we call them? The regular season Eastern Conference defending champions, regular season champs from last year. Certainly will be the one seed in the Eastern Conference this year. They're coming to Detroit for a 7 o'clock game. The last time they came out, it was that physical game that Blake Griffin stepped over Giannis, and that was the last time since the sweep of the playoffs last year when the Pistons got beast-moded by the Milwaukee Bucks in four games there. The Bucks tonight are 13-point favorites to win for the 11th straight time against the Pistons, including the playoffs. I would call this a must-win for the Pistons to kick the streak against Milwaukee going into the offseason, but that just ain't happening against the 46-8 Bucks, despite the fact that Kyle Korver is out. That won't help the Pistons out too much tonight. On the other side of the coin, for Detroit, Blake Griffin is out. Kyrie Thomas is out. Although, some good news on him from Dwayne Casey at practice on Wednesday says that Kyrie might be playing with the Grand Rapids Drive of the G League starting next week. Bad news from Luke Kennard, though, although we kind of expected that he might start off the post-All-Star break portion of the schedule. Back in the lineup or really close to it, Casey intimated on Wednesday that it's actually not very close for Luke, and I will back up what I've said. Talk to some of my league sources around the league, and they were telling me that the injury issues were the biggest reason that Luke was probably not going to get dealt at the trade deadline. Use with that information what you will for Luke Kennard going forward. Also, just a little bit of news, no real concrete word on the 15th spot that was created by the buyout of Reggie Jackson on Tuesday, but Casey said that it might be some 10-day deals that fill the void with the roster spot. We'll see what happens there. The Pistons can pick up the NBA veterans that are available in free agency and maybe even some G League guys throughout the league as well, because the two-way guys are protected by their NBA teams. But all other G League players are free game for the Pistons to pick up. And as Keith Langlois reported, Jordan Bone and Lewis King still have some 10-day eligibility remaining. He did report that they are at least two-thirds the way through of their allotted 45 days to be with the Pistons there. So there is a, you know, you got a little bit of a window here where you can bring in a 10-day guy, see how it works out, and maybe re-up them to a second 10-day contract, or let that person go and maybe go ahead and promote Jordan Bone or Lewis King after that. The other bit of news that came from Dwayne Casey talking to the media after practice on Wednesday was that he doesn't anticipate much of Bruce Brown playing point guard the rest of the season, and said that he's more of a 2-1 instead of a 1-2, which I can understand and partially agree with going forward, but man, doesn't seem like much harm in having Bruce Brown develop the point guard skills, even if it's more of an emergency option or something that he can do in a backup role going forward. I don't quite, unless you're giving those minutes to Jordan Bone, or you really think that Brandon Knight's going to be a maestro of running this offense and getting guys like Sekou Doumbouya and others who need the practice and need the time, Kyrie Thomas coming back to the lineup, Svi Mykhailiuk as well. So important to have Brandon Knight out there as opposed to Bruce Brown. Look, I know that Bruce Brown, the offense kind of breaks down when he's playing one out there. I get it, but there's a lot of things that he can do with the ball in his hands to improve his game, and that needs to be worked on. So not saying I'm a crazy critic of this move, but I'm not crazy about Bruce Brown as off the ball completely. But I would assume that Casey saying that he's more of a 2-1 implies that he's going to have the ball in his hands quite a bit in the future and this season as well. But up next, we're going to run down the ways that the Pistons can imitate the Bucks based on an article I wrote for the Detroit News, which went up on Wednesday. What can Detroit learn from the Milwaukee organization? That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, I did a little story for the Detroit News, which you can find on detnews.com, retweeted it and posted it on the Facebook accounts on Wednesday afternoon as well. It is titled, Seven Ways the Rebuilding Pistons Can Imitate the Booming Bucks, because Jim Russ, the sports editor of the Detroit News, correctly pointed out that weren't the Bucks kind of the old version of the Pistons that stuck in the middle Eastern Conference team, that team that wouldn't rebuild but wasn't really on a serious trajectory to get to contender status? And then, of course, along came Giannis, and now the Bucks sitting at 46-8, going for all sorts of records that they're passing for maybe best start, you know, and obviously if you throw the two seasons last year and this year together, you might have one of the better two season regular season stretches that we've seen, certainly in late recent history, but maybe of all time as well. And with the Bucks coming to town for the final matchup this season, I believe, or maybe the Pistons go to Milwaukee one more time as well, but this will be the final time that the Bucks come to Detroit, unless the Pistons get up into that eighth seed. You never know. Never say never, right? But the Pistons have not won a playoff game since 2018 or a series. You guys know that. But in the 17 seasons from 2002 until 2018, the Bucks made the playoffs eight times but never got into the second round during any of those series. So I came up with seven ways that the Pistons can imitate the Bucks. We'll blow through these here as we kind of talk Milwaukee Bucks as the team that is going to be contending for the NBA Finals and the NBA crown this year. I predict that they will make the finals and play the Lakers in what I think is going to be a toss-up NBA Finals. But of course, if you're talking about how to become the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis is the most important reason why the Milwaukee Bucks are the Milwaukee Bucks. And no, there are no Giannises on this roster. There is no Giannis in the draft this year. Who knows what's coming down the pike? Although, check out Amani Bates with 63 points in double overtime on Tuesday night in the win against Chelsea. Those highlights are available on the internet as well. Sekou Doumbouya is Sekou Doumbouya. I did it again. I said it in the first segment. I was very proud of myself. But Sekou Doumbouya, he obviously could the closest comparison of anything that the Pistons have to Giannis right now. Both guys who were raised in Europe by African and raised by African parents. Sekou born in Africa, and the Antetokounmpo parents, they were immigrants from Africa as well. But obviously the long, toolsy, high-variance prospect of a guy who's kind of a boom or bust, and we'll see how that all goes. But did some stat digging. Sekou going into the second or the post-All-Star break of his rookie year compared to Giannis, they both got 6.8 points per game as rookies. We'll see if Sekou can improve on that throughout the rest of the season. Giannis made a big jump into year two. After about 10 games of his second season, he became the full-time starter that he is right now, and really kind of made a leap in his year 20 season, the same season that Sekou will be entering next year. So maybe that's the blueprint to follow. I've been preaching patience with them, Sekou, and that maybe this, maybe even some Grand Rapids time to close out this season wouldn't be such a bad thing. But it was a pretty aggressive climb for Giannis in the NBA and ended up being a full-time starter really a few games into his second year and stayed there and became the MVP type of player that he is today. But obviously a lot of the moves, number two, that I'm going to be talking about on this list of the ways the Pistons can imitate the Milwaukee Bucks is you got to find the sucker, right? Make those trades. When you're playing poker with your buddies, you always know who that sucker is pretty quickly. And the Pistons got to find one. Unfortunately, when it comes to their relationship with the Bucks, they have been the sucker lately. They've been the one giving up bad deals to the Milwaukee Bucks over the years. Most notably, of course, the summer of 2013, when the Pistons gave up Brandon Knight for Brandon Jennings and also threw in Chris Middleton into that deal. Not great, of course, because Chris Middleton has become a Team USA player, a two-time All-Star as well, really having a good season after struggling over the summer in the World Cup there in China. But, man, not just then, too. Obviously, we know all about Chris Middleton. If you're a Pistons fan, you know about the success he's had. You've cried about that plenty. But the teams have made three deals since then as well, taken on Ersan Ilyasova the first time from Milwaukee before Ersan ended up coming back to the Pistons again and then ultimately going back to the Bucks where he is right now. So Ersan's been around, but at the time that the Pistons took him on, that was kind of a salary dump that Milwaukee was making back then. Caron Butler was in the deal going to Milwaukee but ended up getting waived by the Bucks, even though he had one more year on his contract. But it was just a way for Milwaukee to kind of shave $3 million from their cap for the next season. How about Thon Maker? Now, Thon is a worthy gamble for the Pistons. You know me, I'm not as down on Thon Maker as a lot of the Pistons nation is. But at the end of the day, the Bucks were able to clear Thon Maker off of their salary sheet for this season as opposed to what they ended up getting with Nikola Mirotic in that deal, who was designed to come over and help them during the playoff run last year. That did not happen. He did not play very well during the playoff run, but at least he was off of the books this year as opposed to Thon in the what was then a guaranteed third year on his contract already guaranteed before the season by the Milwaukee Bucks. And then most notably lately, another move that you could argue isn't a horrible one for the Pistons, and that's the John Lure, Tony Snell trade from this past year. I believe the day before the NBA draft, the Pistons traded John Lure and ended up getting not only Tony Snell, but the 30th overall pick in the draft, which was spun out for a bunch of second-round picks before Cleveland ended up taking Kevin Porter Jr. in that slot, which is looking like a worse and worse trade by the day by Cleveland. But Tony Snell, again, a salary dump by the Bucks. They wanted to get the expiring contract of John Lure and wanted to give up the 1+1 deal for Tony Snell on a player option that he'll certainly pick up next year at $12 million. The Bucks subsequently took that, $11 million that Lure was owed this year on an expiring deal and stretched that out over three seasons so they can pay him about or get cost about $3 million on the cap over the next three seasons, kind of like the Josh Smith deal the Pistons are still paying for on the cap these days. So Detroit, they need to find a team like Milwaukee with that sucker front office, or at least one who's more obsessed with the near term as opposed to the far term. These aren't, you know, obviously the Chris Middleton trade is as lopsided as they come, but these deals aren't super lopsided. It's just that the Pistons need to be on the right side of deals that are more concerned with the future instead of the present. Now, the number three way that the Pistons can imitate the Bucks, that comes in the training staff, as Suki Hobson is a female trainer that the Milwaukee Bucks brought on in 2015, and she was named the league's best strength coach last season. The Milwaukee Bucks, as we know, is a team that hasn't suffered a lot of injuries over the years, and she was brought on in 2015 after Giannis' second season. He was a guy who struggled a little bit with injuries, not in long-term situations, but he'd be out for a week every now and then, and really when he's sitting down at this point, it seems like more of a load management situation. Knock on wood, as Giannis did the other day, he is avoiding the long-term situations on the injuries. It reminds you a lot of the Pistons back in the day, right? Arnie Kander used to be renowned by the first the Bad Boys and then the going to work era for his techniques, which were a little bit weird, a little bit obscure, a lot of things that weren't done throughout NBA training rooms, but it made it work. The Pistons were never really injured back in the day. And of course, we look at this team right now. Arnie Kander is back. You got Bernard Kondovo, who we've had on this show before, and Jim Scholler as well. The Pistons have all sort of ailments right now. Blake Griffin, Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard, and then those are the guys with the major injuries that they've suffered this year to miss games. All sorts of other guys missed games time and time here and there. Kyrie Thomas being someone who's missed most of the season as well. Now, injuries happen throughout the NBA. I don't say this to throw the current training staff under the bus, but whether it's a lot of it luck, of course, with injuries, they need to go back to winning those kind of awards that the Bucks are winning with the training staff these days and go back to having as close to a clean slate of health as you can possibly have in the NBA these days. Another thing that the Pistons need to do, and of course you want to find ways to innovate, you want to find ways to make your team better against the grain a little bit, but in some ways you got to just kind of follow the lead of everyone else, and that's what Mike Budenholzer did with the Milwaukee Bucks when he came aboard at the beginning of last season. And that's just following what the smart teams in the NBA were doing. You shoot and you make a lot of three-pointers. You shoot and, of course, you make a lot of layups. You shoot and you make a lot of free throws. And then on the contrast, you kind of make sure that your opponents aren't doing that. You're protecting the rim. You're protecting the three-point line as well. The way that Budenholzer flipped that from Jason Kidd the previous year in his first season that he came here, that is a masterful job that he did. The Bucks last season just behind the Rockets in attempted three-pointers. So second, after being the 25th most the previous year, he flipped that completely. You bring in Brook Lopez to protect the rim like he does, even though his three-point shooting has gone down quite a bit to the point where he's a hindrance to the team on three-point shooting this year. That threat is a good thing for him, but just the way that he does his work defensively under the rim is a way that really impacts other teams offensively. We see that with the Pistons all the time. We saw that with Andre Drummond all the time. The guys don't really know what to do when they have that rim protector down there. They got to throw up those floaters, and it's really kind of an awkward shot, especially when Brooks kind of sitting there baiting you to go into that, a little bit of a mind game there as well. And it's something that the Pistons and teams across the league are really struggling with. So we know that Dwayne Casey is emphasizing three-pointers and, of course, not letting teams shoot as many three-pointers as in his first season with Detroit, but that hasn't been the case as much in year two. And whether it's Casey or whether it is whoever is that ultimate coach that's going to be going forward for the Pistons, they got to make sure that they are following the lead of a lot of the teams and the trends around the NBA until something changes in a major way, whether the three-point line gets moved back, they change values of baskets made or something like that, a drastic change. I don't really see how this is going to be a new NBA at any time soon here with strategy-wise anyway. The number five way that the Pistons can imitate the Milwaukee Bucks is by cutting bait. When things aren't working, they are not working. We don't know who some of these young players that are cogs of the rebuild, if they're going to turn out or not. But if the Pistons are going to be serious about going forward and making the right decisions with some of these guys, they need to go ahead and cut bait when it is time. We saw the Bucks do that with Thon Maker. They only had him for 2.5 seasons. But in addition to getting rid of the salary off of their books this year, the Bucks eliminated Maker from the locker room when he started making playing time demands. And they got rid of him. They did that. They've made some tough decisions. They got rid of their coach, Jason Kidd, in what was a playoff season. They got rid of him in the middle of the year in January 2008. And they also weren't afraid to stretch players. We talked about John Luehr with that trade a little while ago as well. But Larry Sanders was a guy who had his medical problems, his mental problems, I should say. They weren't afraid to stretch that contract. Spencer Hawes is another contract that they weren't afraid to stretch. They still have those contracts on the book to this day. So it shows that they're a team that's not afraid to cut bait when it's needed, and that's something that the Pistons can emulate as well. I got two more ways that the Pistons can imitate the Bucks as they try to climb their way through the NBA's middle and up to NBA contending status. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. All right, let's talk about these final two ways that the Pistons could imitate the Bucks, and you'll see that the last one is actually the imitators of the imitators, really, and that's because two of the building blocks, foundational-wise, in the front office of the Bucks came from the Detroit Pistons, and the first one being John Hammond, who came over to Milwaukee in 2008 and helped build up this current iteration of the Milwaukee Bucks, most notably drafting Giannis Antetokounmpo in the draft there, kind of a flyer and a bad draft. I believe it was the 15th pick as well, just like Sekou was. And then after John Hammond left in 2017, the surprise promotion came from John Horst, who's from Sandusky in the thumb of Michigan, played at Rochester College, was an intern with the Detroit Pistons and worked his way up into catching John Hammond's eye, so much so that he took him over to Milwaukee with him, and then John ended up replacing John Hammond. John Horst replaced John Hammond when Hammond left for Orlando, and now Horst matched John Hammond in winning Executive of the Year last season, just like Hammond did in 2010 with the Bucks. So Horst takes over. Both of them come over from Detroit, and now it's like Frankenstein, right? They created a monster that's taking over the Central Division, and now it's kind of a hill that seems like a long way for the Pistons to be able to climb over that. But maybe some lessons that John Hammond and John Horst took from the Joe Dumars front office that John Hammond was obviously a prominent role in was the Rasheed Wallace trade. We saw that the Pistons were able to take in a guy that maybe some teams wouldn't want to take a chance on, the bad boy image from the Portland Trailblazers days, all the technical fouls that he got. Well, the Pistons brought him in 2004, and he proved to be the last piece of the puzzle for the Pistons championship team that year. And the Bucks kind of did a similar thing, and that's the number seven thing that the Pistons can take away from the Bucks, and that's don't be afraid to take a chance after you build up the culture, build up some of the winning atmosphere around the Bucks. They were able to take on Eric Bledsoe when he did the infamous "I don't want to be here" tweet, and then kind of subsequently claimed that he was talking about a hair salon, which of course we know he wasn't. But they were able to take on Eric Bledsoe. Now, it has been a little bit rocky. It hasn't been great play for him, especially in the playoffs. But that's a guy who was some added talent to a team that needed some help in the backcourt, and he was able to get that done so far for the Bucks, and it's been successful, not ultimately successful. We'll see if Horst is able to do that. Now, how does that translate to the front office for the Pistons? We'll see what kind of move they can make down the line. But is Ed Stefanski kind of like the version of John Hammond. We know that he hasn't had any real success with the Pistons as an executive, but you could see maybe some baby steps going forward these next couple of years. And maybe when it's time for the Pistons to take a chance on a new coach, an unproven type of guy, or maybe a new GM or president going forward, if they ever want to have a GM or president with this team in the official title version, but maybe they could make take a swing on the type of guy who comes from a really smart franchise that's accomplished, a young guy who maybe is a little bit green. They could take an advantage. They could take a chance on a kind of guy like that, just like the Bucks did here. So it's going to be up close and personal tonight. We'll see the fruits of all these moves that the Bucks have made over the years. And those are just some of the ways the Pistons can imitate the Milwaukee Bucks if they want to turn this thing around here going forward. But one more episode coming up this week. We'll look back on the Thursday night game tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks, recap that one, look ahead to the West Coast swing coming up starting, I believe, on Sunday in Portland. So we'll be talking about that one on Friday's show here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening. Talk to you guys tomorrow.